Oh, you bumbling boob. This is Skeletor, and you're listening to the Talk To Me podcast. Beast Man, put down that... Ah, boy.
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet-and-greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collective Soul, Taiketto, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockinPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Feast your ears.
All right, let's get into something a little bit more fun. I was, since you host the Nerf Herder Council, I was looking for some lists of things, and this one is VH1's Cosmic Connections You Probably Never Noticed Between Hard Rock and Star Wars.
What? So, get out.
So I think it's a pretty long list, so I'm just going to kind of cherry pick it. There's 38 on here. So, number one, in concert, Metallica occasionally covers Darth Vader's theme, The Imperial March. The band even performed it in the 1999 or... performed it in 1999 with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra during the live shows that became S&M. The song didn't make the final cut, but a gnarly 30-second snippet, though, has long existed as a leak online.
So many bands have done that. Dun, 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 right. Dun, dun. It's so many bands have pulled that one out here and there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, number eight, no doubt reinvents Darth Vader's Imperial March as a ska-punk rave-up on their 1997 video, Live in the Tragic Kingdom.
That's sacrilege, but... You stay away from Star Wars, Gwen Stefani.
Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt has stated that most of his, quote-unquote, religious beliefs emanate from Star Wars.
Well, it can be quasi-religious if you read into it that much, so I guess... That would make a lot of sense, I guess, on an esoteric level, I suppose.
What would be the what are the religious implications of Star Wars?
Yeah, from what I've read, because I don't get into it that deeply, I just love it because it's a cool story. But a lot of people talk about Episode One, The Phantom Menace, and they talk about Anakin Skywalker as being Jesus-like because it was an immaculate conception and. There's only really, the son and the mother and, born of the force and all this kind of stuff. So people do that kind of stuff. And then a lot and people that really want to dig into it have taken the whole good versus evil, like Jedi versus Sith, and said you can parallel it to, Jesus versus Satan. It's like, man, it's just a cool movie. Like it's guys with laser guns and lightsabers kicking ass. Like just you don't got to read into it that much. Like.
Yeah, that's definitely out there. Like I said, like I told you the other day, I like Star Wars. I'm not like a Star Wars nerd. I would never do a Star Wars podcast like some people I know. but when it comes right. down to it, it's a fun movie, and it's fun to take the kids to go see them now that they're now that my kids are older and the new movies are coming out.
Yeah, it's just entertainment, And I mean, even like you said, I have the show, and our show is basically like three dudes sitting around having a beer talking about Star Wars. It's what you do. It'd be the same thing, like you and I getting into a music conversation. It's the same thing. You're not out to dissect it and pick it apart and, oh my God, this sucked and this was so fake. And no, it's just go have fun. That's what movies are for,
All right, here's a good one for you. The 2014 book, Heavy Metal Movies, Guitar Barbarians, Mutant Bimbos and Cult Zombies Amok in the 666 Most Ear and Eye-Ripping Big Screens Film Ever. That's the title of the book.
What the hell?
Features a breakdown of Star Wars elements into heavy metal subgenres. An example, the opening crawl is symphonic metal. The Death Star is drone metal. The Jawas are doom metal. The Tusken Raiders are crust punk. The Landspeeder is a 70s rock van. The Max Rebo Band is groove metal. Han Solo is thrash. Han Solo shooting Greedo first is death metal.
Okay. Again, reading into it a little much, but as you're saying this, I'm trying to picture the soundtrack in my head going, does the music match that? Like, I don't know.
You know, the Minneapolis-based jam band Wookie Foot specializes in psychedelic reggae-tinged sonic explorations for fans who, in large part, proudly and happily resemble the creature for which the group is named. Are you into the band Wookie Foot?
I actually have never heard of the band Wookie Foot. The only Star Wars band I'm really actively aware of is Galactic Empire.
What do you think about those guys? They're actually going to be here in Louisville soon.
Yeah, they're coming to Columbus pretty soon. It's about 2 hours from me. We actually had them on the show the night before they left for a European tour. And actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to out them on this, but the drummer and the main like arranger of everything is the drummer from August Burns Red.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So he's actually somewhat of a known guy. And I love it personally because I'm a huge fan of electric guitar and I'm a huge metal fan. So when you combine those two things with Star Wars, like it's always going to turn out good for me. So
that's so funny. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool concept, and it seems like they're having fun and stuff. So, well, yeah, I've got some friends that are big into Star Wars. We might go check it out. We might not.
Yeah, they have to wear different costumes. Like they can't match them exactly because they're afraid of getting sued. So if you look at their actual stage outfits,
yeah.
Like if you see the videos on YouTube, they're in the actual costumes, but the stuff they wear on stage, they change it up a little bit so that they're not getting any copyright, you know, letters in the mail or anything.
So Bicycle Race by Queen includes the lyric, Jaws was never my thing and I don't like Star Wars. But nonetheless, in concert, frontman Freddie Mercury was once famously hoisted atop the shoulders of Darth Vader. And at the particular moment, he seemed to like Star Wars just fine.
I never knew that was in a Queen song.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know it was in a Queen song, but I knew I've seen that picture. That picture's crazy. As the Red Hot Chili Peppers shout out Hollywood exports during their classic Californication, Star Wars gets the nod with the lion and Alderaan's not far away.
It is everywhere, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's like stuff with like Weird Al and Everclear and... among the VIPs invited to George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch in 1999 for a preview of The Phantom Menace were Ozzy and Rob Zombie. Ozzy and Zombie debated the Ewoks, with Black Sabbath frontman taking the pro side and the House of a Thousand Corpses director voicing the con perspective. I would have absolutely loved to have seen Ozzy and Rob Zombie debate Ewoks.
All right. Tootin' Empire, man. See, that's the thing. I get made fun of for Star Wars a lot, but it's like everybody likes Star Wars to some degree. Most people have at least seen it or something, and it has a ton of fans. So it's not like I'm in some minority or something. So,
right, it's not like you're a Star Trek fan.
Exactly, right?
Now, that's a minority of a minority.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's how does my wife phrase it? Like, there's a difference between nerds and dorks, and that, you know, Star Wars fans are nerds and Star Trek fans are dorks. Like, so one's cool and one is like uncool. So,
well, I worked in a comic book store in the mid to late 90s, and that was, I guess, when the prequels were getting ready to come back out, and they were re-releasing the original, you know, with the bonus stuff in theaters. And but I just remember there was always just so much Star Wars stuff where you could truly go off on tangents and, like, you know, going in all the books and stuff. It's just it's crazy how big the universe is. And I don't know how much of that is I guess, quote, what is it called, canon, you know? How much of that stuff is actually true to the story or not anymore?
They actually reset it when Disney bought Lucasfilm. They kind of reset it, and they said that the Clone Wars cartoon and the six movies and stuff that they were going to put out going forward would be canon. So all that stuff, which was called the EU, the extended universe, like all the novels you're talking about and comics, they basically got left behind. Now it's called the Legends universe. And all the people that were huge into the books just threw an absolute fit. So, I mean, it's crazy. They're so vocal about it. And I never got into it personally because there's so many different books and takes on characters. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. I mean, But they're trying to actually acknowledge those fans because they're bringing in characters from that stuff into the current stuff. Like in the cartoon they got going now called Rebels, the main character of the three most popular novels back then was Grand Admiral Thrawn. They actually brought him into the cartoon to go, hey, all you people that like the books, look what we did for you. So, you know.
I finally broke down and watched the Star Wars Christmas special not too long ago. Just
because. I have. Oh, how bad was it?
It was pretty bad. Have you not watched it?
I actually purposely have not watched it because I know how absolutely atrocious it is. I've seen like little clips and stuff. As soon as you see a picture of Chewbacca with his family and the kid's called Lumpy, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm doing this.
I had to watch it just because of so many people were like, this is the worst thing ever. And I've heard so many backstories about, you know, how Han didn't want to be there and, you know, all this other nonsense. So it's just kind of fun to watch in that context of just how much of a train wreck it is.
Oh, yeah. George Lucas himself barely acknowledges it. And when he does, he makes fun of it.
Was it not added to the canon, though? I thought it was for some dumb reason.
No, huh?
I could have swore, yeah.
No, that's one of those things that is so atrocious. And pretty much every fan has universally regarded as garbage that they're just kind of like, they sweep it under the rug. It's like the Kiss meets the Phantom kind of thing.
Hey, like, that's a great movie. Better watch your mouth.
the Black Ace Frehley.
Everyone needs a Black Ace Frehley in their deck.
Right.
It's funny. The best thing I've ever heard about the Christmas special is the fact that it acknowledges that Chewbacca has a family that he's basically left behind for years and years and years to go travel the galaxy with Han Solo.
Yeah, and they, from what I understand, in the upcoming Han Solo standalone movie that's coming out next year, it kind of addresses that too, like that he's married or something. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm like. I don't know. That's I get it. He's like humanoid, but that's kind of a little too much. Like, you know, what has he got a mortgage to? He's got to pay his car note. So he has to send checks home to his wife
and Lumpy.
Yeah, right.
You got to pay some child support for Lumpy.
Yeah, right. Poor Lumpy's growing up without a dad.
One of those kids. Mom takes him to all the football practices and stuff. It's terrible.
He's a latchkey kid. He's a latchkey Wookiee.
Oh man. Star Wars talk on Talk to Me.
I know, look at that.